You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Friends and relatives, I am your host, Sahil Thit, a.k.a. Jerry Oldman. Hello, this is Teachings in the Air with Sahil Thit. You know, I've learned how to be with people, wherever they are. And I got an idea for this podcast, which is titled, The Babies Are Crying, The Children Are Crying. I was talking to a health professional, and he's seen a baby crying by itself outside a door. And it moved him and disturbed him. And he asked the question, what's going to happen with that baby? I felt the same many times in my life when I hear the babies and the children crying because of fear or hunger or feeling abandoned. You know, and as human beings, we all go through that in our lives. So today I wanted to do this podcast titled The Babies and Children Are Crying. And what led me to this topic was one word, and it's aggression. And it's hostile or violent behavior towards other people. That attitude that which means you're acting and thinking that those people, there's something wrong with them, so I'm going to attack them. You know, I went through that in life, you know, because part of aggression, you know, is they do the verbal and the physical, or even looks to let you know that they do not agree with your existence. I went through that as a child, you know, that forceful action. Unprovoked attack, because I did not provoke the ones that struck me when I was a child in school. I didn't provoke. I made a mistake, yes. Everybody makes mistakes. In my course in mathematics or arithmetic, I made mistakes and I got struck for it. You know that human aggression can break human relationships. You know, one way is to spread malicious rumors or half-truth about another people. And that happened to indigenous people. They spread rumors that we're pagan heathen savages, that we don't care about our children, that or lazy. You know, those words that rung in my ears as a child, I didn't see it as aggression, but today I see it as aggression. I was a target of another human being, an individual. And I come to understand it was put in place by individuals in a government that make laws and write policies. The policy, you know, is a plan of action, how to fix a problem. That's what a policy is. So when the indigenous people got identified as a problem, they had to have plans of action to address that problem. So aggression was used, forceful, overly assertive, pursuit of that aim of fixing the Indian problem by creating laws that outlaw ceremony and ritual and even regalia. They're saying that's wrong. There are individuals saying that. Took me a long time to come to the conclusion that they didn't do a poll amongst all those newcomers that come to Canada and say, should we take away their regalia? No, it's a decision of individuals that are writing the plans of action to deal with what they call the Indian problem. That's aggression, forceful action, intended to dominate, master, or kill is aggression too. To dominate my people, I used to be disturbed, in my whole thing around loss of inner peace. Why the truth of what I read or what I heard about colonization in this country? And it was aggression. The first example I was given was smallpox blankets, and a law called the Indian Act that creates Indian reservations, residential schools, and day schools. That was an aggression, attacking without provocation. And it had an impact on me. And I get triggered in my life before I found the healing road. And I get negative emotions of being afraid, of being angry, of being depressed, of being frustrated with my life and what I see around me. And I wasn't seeing good in those days. When I was unhealthy, I was not seeing the beauty or feeling the beauty of Mother Earth. That's how powerful that aggression impacted to heal it. And this was just, I can count them in my hand. 4 teachers in the elementary and high school system that were aggressive towards me, with slaps, with pushing, with striking, with yardsticks and whatever they can get their hands in, throwing things at me, using the strap. It was, I don't know how long it was, 3 feet long or something, and it's thick, and I got strapped. Wham! And my rear end. That was aggression towards a child, a teenager. And that for sure created pain and frustration inside of me. A lot of fear, a lot of fear. So when I was 6 years old, the child was weeping. That's me, Sahil Thit. I was weeping. I was afraid. I was puzzled. What did I do? Why do you have to hit me so hard? In front of everyone. I wasn't asking that, but that's the process I know I was going through, because I learned to be afraid and ashamed of making mistakes by aggression. That practice of making attacks on others, it injures people in their mind, their body, and their spirit. It affects their behavior. It means how they're going to talk and act and think, how they're going to behave in public or in their home. It impacts that too. So as I was coming up to this podcast, you know, I've been thinking of this for many months now. And I realize that aggression is causing problems all over the world. Aggressive behavior by individuals. And it does not provide healthy solutions. You know, I was taught that what goes around comes around. So if I put out love, love's going to come back to me. If I put out anger, it's going to come back to me. One of the elders in the workshop said, use an example to make it clear to us. He says, if I throw a tennis ball against the wall and it bounces back and I catch it, but the harder I throw it, the harder it's going to come back. And he was saying, that's, our words are like that. You put out negative language, goes out and then it comes back. Took me many years to really understand this in my heart. That when I got stuck in the past of aggression against me, I could not see today what's around me. I could not see the trees, the sky, the clouds, feel the heat of the sun, the scent of the spruce trees or cedar trees or whatever forest I was in. I was unaware of it, even though it's there, it's happening. I am breathing in the scent of that beautiful pine tree or, you know, fir tree or cedar trees or juniper, you know, because I've been, you know, we have all those trees in Canada. So I was literally looking back all the time. And when I looked forward, I was afraid. Because I'm carrying this memory of aggression. So to look forward and to see solutions and beauty is what I was looking for. Even though I didn't have the words for it, I wanted to feel peaceful. I wanted to feel the harmony. I wanted to feel the beauty of life. So how did Sahilthit get to where he is today? Because I do have peace of mind. And, you know, and the most important thing is I have a way of coping. When something negative comes and it's so powerful, it stops my mind for a while and I get stuck. Now, if I did not have coping skills, I would stay in that place of anger, fear, depression, frustration. You know, I would react in that manner. So if it is angry bird woken up in my mind, if I didn't have a way to deal with what made me angry, people would see it in me and I'd take it out on the people around me in my home, my community, in my country. You know, so coping skills is important. So my conclusion on the road away from this aggression and the impacts of aggression is love. You know that we teach people about making commitments. And we also, most importantly, give them teachings of how to cope, how to make themselves stronger, to be good people. You know, I learned that love from this wonderful facilitator And facilitator means this one is the one that makes it easy to talk about difficult or good things. So we can listen and we can become engaged and connected. This was a good facilitator. Because we were talking about mental health. She made it easy for us to look at these problems and to talk about them. And she mentioned love. She says, I've learned now over years of working with people that love is not an emotion to me anymore. It's a commitment. When there's a serious, consistent, deep commitment between two human beings, then there's going to be good feelings created in them. People say that's love. It is love, but it's created by commitment. Tying yourself to another person or another group or another community, I'm committed to you. So love is a teaching. This can be taught. I sort of laughed. I said, you can teach love, you know. Well, you teach about commitment and be consistent with that commitment. Then that person will appreciate you. You know, and I was taught that we teach, don't scold. That's a traditional way of parenting. One of the principles is you teach, you don't scold. And the other one is when there's a mistake, you heal, don't punish people for their mistakes that they make. Because we all make mistakes as human beings. Of course, some of those mistakes are pretty serious. When something's broken, like an arm, or something stolen that's precious, you know, we still need to heal that one that created that crime or done the crime. So to create a harmonious family and community, I can see how those two principles are the way out when there's aggression in the air. You teach, you don't scold. Because scolding is can be aggressive. Oh, you stupid so-and-so-and-so-and-so, that's an aggression. That's aggression. And so saying, you know, I want you to think about this. You know, when you do that, what happens? Then you're getting that one to look at themselves, to be accountable and responsible for their words and actions by teaching them about love, about commitment. You know that I felt love in my life. My parents, my grandparent, friends, relatives. I felt that commitment. Oh, committed to you, Jerry. So he said, I'm committed. And that way, they don't let one mistake I make break our relationship. Because that commitment is so strong. And also, if someone is consistently aggressive, attacking, then that becomes a problem, serious problem. And that's where that teaching of respect comes in for me. Like, I talk to myself and I say, I want to respect every human being, every insect, every animal, every plant, water, everything. I want to respect it. And I learned how to talk to water. Thank you for the life before I have a drink of water for my life, because I need water to survive. To respect that water. That's how much power it has to keep me alive, to keep me healthy. And if I'm without it, I'll dehydrate and I'll perish. So to teach respect for yourself, for everything that keeps you alive, with our babies and our children, and our tweens and our teens and our adults and our elders, old ones today that did not receive the teaching. When I reflect on what's going on in the world, I say there's a loss of respect and love in the world. Because if we truly respect water, we wouldn't deny it to anyone. We'd wish that they have good water, clean water, to drink and to bathe in. You know, and that respect I had to, in my journey, you know, first to respect myself. Because I wasn't respecting Sahilthit with all the booze I drank and the drugs I done. That's not respecting my body. But I learned that I must do this if I'm going to survive and, more importantly, thrive. And I accomplished that. And to get there, I had to develop an attitude of fearlessness or courage. Because I remember when I first stopped drinking, people would make fun of me. Say things like, what, you think you're better than us? No, you're not going to drink. That's a form of aggression. And I was so weak at that time, I'd buckle and I'd say, okay, give me a beer, and I'd drink, you know. And eventually, I could look them in the eye and say, I don't drink anymore. Please don't offer me any. That has been hurting me and hurting my family, so I don't want to drink anymore. I started to get that fearlessness of what people think about me because I don't want to drink, because I used to be afraid. Oh, he thinks he's better than us now. You know, he doesn't want to drink with us, you know, and they'd make fun of me, and I didn't have courage then, and I say, okay, and I drink again. And, you know, this happens in stages in my life. So I start to develop courage and fearlessness. And that means showing people who I am. My insecurities, you know, my worries and doubts, you know, and I think of that and the lack of courage, you know, to tell people how much I care for them, to use that word, I love you, you know, and I can remember people telling me that, and I go, uh-huh, oh, okay, instead of returning that sentiment, oh, I love you too. And here's why. And don't even have to explain it, but if I tell them, I know it might be stronger. And also, it happened, I started to say that more freely about how much I appreciate people. Because remember, love is a commitment. I'm committed to you in our relationship here as friends or relatives. I'm committed. I'm in. So if you make mistakes, okay, let's fix it. I'll teach you and I won't scold you. I'll help you to heal. With either myself or I'll recommend somebody for you to go to see, to heal. You know, so that I still fall into that fear trap and lose my courage at times. Being my fearful instead of fearless. About my beliefs, about my worldview that I've developed all my life, took me to this day, you know, to keep changing my worldview about life. say, oh, there's racists everywhere. It's all racism. You know, I had to look and become honest by looking. Because I know today that all Canadians aren't racist. And so the way I used to talk, because of the aggression, I thought everybody was a racist. Didn't like Indigenous people, didn't care, which is more importantly, didn't care about Indigenous people. I'm truthful today. I've met many wonderful Canadians, racialized, and I'll use a word white here, European-based Canadians, got a heart of gold, good people, would share with me, would talk to me, would laugh with me, and cry with me. Because of that honesty, I finally realized one day they're not all bad, that I was generalizing, painting everybody with the same paintbrush, the same color. And I've told this story before. I was taught by an old Chinese man from China. And we're at a conference called Crimes Against Humanity. And I was there to speak about sexual abuse against children. That's a crime, big crime against humanity, at this conference. The one that asked me to do my presentation said, oh, you can stay for the whole conference. You don't have to pay registration. Oh, okay, I'll stay. Oh, I'd hear about Holocaust, sex slaves, genocide in South America, about all these crimes against humanity. I remember before the last speaker, I was sitting there and I had my head down. And I said, I'm losing my faith in humanity. You know, there's so many crimes against humanity all over the world because these speakers were from all over the world. And this old Chinese man comes up to the podium with his translator. And he does it properly. He says his name and his family and where he's from. And after he gets through that, he points at his legs. And he says, I have the rotten leg disease. They say it'll never get better. It'll only get progressively worse. Then he says these words that transformed me. And he said, the evil Japanese anthraxed my village. Right away, because I was carrying the past around with me of being abused by Christian white men. And I said, it changed my whole narrative. Then I said, the evil white people hurt me. The evil Christians hurt me. Which permitted me to see the good ones. You know? So and I'm honest about that today. I tell the truth about that. Yes, I was harmed by evil people. But there are so many good people. Don't get carried away now, Jerry. Don't generalize like a teenager, like when you were a teenager. Oh, you use words like they or never or just being general. So I learned to become honest with myself. And I could be honest with others. This is a big struggle one for me. People will ask me sometimes, how are you doing? I'll say, oh, okay. It just becomes like part of my life to say that. even though I'm suffering mentally at times because of what I see happening in the world.